7:34 in the morning here on Upfront. I'm Kat Brooks.
And I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert, kicking off our customary series of debates on local races that'll be on the ballot that are of a broader interest. We're going to dive into a policy experiment that's going to be on the ballot in San Francisco on the primary ballot next month. This is Proposition E. Now, basically, here's the situation. San Francisco caps the amount of large office space that can be developed each year. Proposition E would start adjusting that cap downward if the city's not meeting its goal of building a little over 2,000 affordable housing units per year. Fall short by half, you could only build half as much office space. The devil is in the details, because another thing that the ballot initiative would do is grandfather in and in many cases fast track development projects that are already in the pipeline in San Francisco. We're going to get into the merits of this as policy and the specifics of this as a ballot initiative with a proponent and an opponent right now. On the pro side, John Jacobo, he's a director of engagement and public policy at the Tenants and Owners Development Corporation, which is sponsoring Proposition E. Put it on the ballot. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you? It's also John Jacobo.
Jacobo. Sorry about that. And on the con side, we have Corey Smith, deputy director of the San Francisco Housing Action Coalition, which is opposing Prop E. Corey Smith, good morning to you.
Good morning. And nobody ever mispronounces my last name. Yeah, be lucky.
Lucky you. I've got a hyphen in mind. John, you're the proponent, so we'll start with you. Explain what this would do, and more particularly, why you thought this was investing time and money into getting passed.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think this is going back to 1986, a couple years before I was born, actually, and relooking at a ballot measure and a city policy that at the time had the right intention, but could probably not foresee what we were going to head into, which is the unfortunate affordability crisis that we're kind of living in today. So what this is attempting to do is revisit this 1986 Prop M, which puts a cap on office development, and attach an interesting kind of provision to it, essentially saying that if we are not developing the appropriate amount of affordable housing per year, we are going to go ahead and take the right steps of reducing the amount of office that we develop per year.
Corey Smith, sounds reasonable. Mm-hmm. You create more room for jobs. You create more demand for housing. The imbalance is at the core of the Bay Area's housing affordability crisis. Why are you against it?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, it sounds great, but I mean, office and housing demand, number one, work on a regional level. So just because we shut down office in San Francisco doesn't mean the demand for housing would be, any smaller. The office will just go to Oakland or in the peninsula. And at the end of the day, we need a lot more housing. And this measure doesn't do anything to actually create more subsidized affordable housing units. So rather than attacking with a stick, we think we should be looking at ways to try to build housing instead.
John Jacobo, why don't you respond to the regional argument, which, as I understand it, is basically if San Francisco doesn't let stuff get built, it's going to go to Oakland, it's going to go to South San Francisco, and those developers and those employers are not going to be paying taxes that your city can use to build affordable housing.
You know, I completely agree with that notion. And in fact, it's not even that this measure would do that. It's that that is already happening today. In fact, I think San Mateo County has something like 55 million square feet of office that it is currently developing, or that is in the pipe, and has no requirement for affordable housing, no requirement for housing for that matter. So for us, to be very transparent, for me in particular, the idea would be not to not have this happen in San Francisco, but to find a way to make this happen regionally where we can find balanced growth in the entire region.
Okay, but what we're debating, to be clear, is just what's on the ballot in San Francisco specifically.
Absolutely, 110%. So for us, you have to kind of look at it from a couple of different lenses, I suppose. In San Francisco, we have had this imbalance happening for a very long period of time. In fact, one of the local supervisors here in San Francisco did a jobs housing fit analysis to really take a look at who is actually benefiting and who is suffering in San Francisco. And what that jobs housing fit analysis saw was that we lost about 32% of the population being people that were low to moderate income, and they were replaced with people that were high income earners. And what's happening is you're having this very huge kind of crunch with who can afford to live here and who can't afford to live here. And a lot of that rests on the shoulders of the fact that we are bringing in these jobs that provide high wages, which is a great benefit, but we're not prioritizing affordable housing that should be the highest benefit to ensure that we have a diverse economy in San Francisco. So for us, the answer is clear. We need this in San Francisco to ensure that both developers and city government are prioritizing affordable housing at the level they have not been doing today. And what I would love to see in the future is for this to be regionally. That is just kind of the connect to that.
Corey Smith, let me put the inverse question to you. You pointed out this in and of itself does not generate more money for affordable housing, but it also generates less competition for housing. I believe the argument is that the fees that get spun off by new office development don't pay for enough housing to satisfy the demand that the jobs in those offices create.
Yeah, well, I mean, so when you look at the total economic impact for the city as a whole over a 20-year period, we're looking for anywhere between, you know, $600 million to $900 million less for subsidized affordable housing, and then in overall property taxes, you know, $1 billion to $1.5 billion. So the overall pot of money that we have to, you know, at our disposal is just significantly smaller. And if we want to create extra opportunities to legalize subsidized or to create more subsidized affordable housing, we should be doing things like changing our zoning laws to allow affordable housing to be built on every parcel in San Francisco, not just the third or so that we have here today. And so there's a bunch of different steps that we can take to get more housing built in San Francisco, but this is going to inevitably reduce the amount of office we have, in turn, reduce the affordable housing money that we have, which will reduce more office. I mean, it's just a death spiral that goes down and down with no real positive outcome, no matter how you look at it.
I want to drill down on this because I think you're talking past the question a little bit. What do you say to someone in San Francisco who says, yes, I want affordable housing, but I also don't want an office tower going up next to me, bringing 3,000 new six-figure jobs to the area where the people who hold those jobs are going to be bidding up my rents, creating incentives for my landlord to evict me?
So the idea that towers are going all over the city, number one, is a fallacy. We've got the economic core of the Bay Area and downtown San Francisco, and that office density is a good thing. This measure ties that the target that we're going for in affordable housing is based on something called the Regional Housing Needs Allocation, which is a state measure that says you have to build X number of subsidized affordable units over an 8-year period. San Francisco has never hit that target because the demand is so high, because we've underproduced housing for so many years. So totally reasonable and understandable if you don't want a tower next to your house. But that's not what's really going to be argued here. It's downtown in the core of San Francisco. Are we going to continue to allow office space? The reality is we have an office space shortage in San Francisco. And so the only companies that can afford office rents, both right now and then if this measure passes in the future, will be the higher wage companies, big tech companies, big financial companies. So this wouldn't stop that fear that you're describing one way or another, because we would let minimum office get through, though not nearly enough for all the companies that we want to be able to provide opportunities to operate here in San Francisco.
John Jacob, I've seen that argument filtering through the Twitterverse that basically this would stack the deck against any but the largest and highest paying companies. What's your response?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think that San Francisco has been in a crunch for not just the market rate or affordable housing, but also for the office that gets built. But to be clear, our measure is not. So a couple of things here to explain to listeners also. Prop M puts a cap on 1 million square feet of office development per year. There is two things within there known as large cap and small cap. You have large cap office developments, which are over 50,000 square feet, and then you have small cap, which are under 50,000 square feet. Our ballot measure touches nothing with the small cap, the under 49, we call them 49ers, the 49,000 square feet office developments. And there's currently, just right now as an example, 16 of those in the pipe to be developed in San Francisco. So that's one thing. The second thing is our measure does not completely turn off office development. It doesn't shut the valve. It just slows it down if we're not prioritizing affordable housing. So the reality is we're still going to be building office development to some degree. But an important provision in this measure that I think gets overlooked is that if you are an office developer and you build the proportionate amount of affordable housing needed for your office development on your own dime, no city subsidy, then you move forward. Prop M is irrelevant to you. You get to develop this. And I think that a lot of times that's not really listed, or people choose to maybe not look at that. And one of the important things to kind of highlight in this is that there's already two developers telling us that they could potentially do this if this measure does pass. So for us and for me, if we have office towers going up with the proportional amount of affordable housing being developed, then that's a win-win, I think, for everyone.
I'm glad you brought up that part of Proposition 8. Corey Smith, let's put that to you. There is a path around the declining cap on office development. That's if the office developers build affordable housing themselves. Isn't that a good way to connect the thing you're advocating for, which is keeping office development going, to the thing he wants, which is more affordable housing?
Wholeheartedly. And there might be a couple of really, really big developers that might be able to make that work. But if you're coming in with a million square feet worth of office, the projection is that we'll need over 800 subsidized affordable units, which will cost over $600 million in order to build. So in order to offset that office that you're creating, you have to have an extra $500 million laying around for subsidized affordable housing. And the math just doesn't make sense when you can operate in Oakland or in another city. So it just, the incentive isn't there.
All right. Corey Smith, we gave him as the proponent the first word, so we'll leave you with the last one. I want to thank both of you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, and thanks for having. You know, at the end of the day, it's just I don't see what positive benefit comes out of this.
That was me saying we're out of time. Right. That's the voice of Corey Smith. He's deputy director of the San Francisco Housing Action Coalition. They are opposing Proposition E. Also with us on the phone, you heard John Jacobo. He's the director of engagement and public policy at the Tenants and Owners Development Corporation, or TODCO, which is sponsoring Proposition E. Prop E is pretty unique in terms of policy. It's going to be on San Francisco's ballot on Super Tuesday. What it would do is lower the amount of office space that the city allows to be built in proportion to the amount that the city is falling short on its affordable housing development goals.